This is the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
I almost feel like Ian Begley, who joins us right now from SNY, we should have had him jump into our FaceTime thing here, too, so we could see him. He's a handsome guy, and he's going to have to now learn how to put on makeup and get his hair cut every 2 weeks, because now he's going deeper into TV.
I think I'm SW number 44. I think that's my chocolate mocha sign. He'll learn his, and he'll walk around with it in case of emergency.
He'll also learn in a couple of years that Just for Men is your best friend. Eagles, what's up, man? So the Putback, which debuts today at 4 o'clock, is a new basketball show on SNY, and I'm only a little bit disappointed that I'm not the first guest.
Listen, man, I can't wait to get you on. Love to get Bart on too. I mean, I need any and all basketball insight on that show. That's the goal. We're gonna have a lot of fun. We're gonna have analysts, you know, ex-coaches, former scouts, people that know the game and can kind of peel the curtain back a little bit on things that they see and things happening with the local teams in the market.
I'm here for you whenever you need me, and I am an expert in drawing fouls and committing fouls in basketball. I was a man in high school.
He's also the guy that will make every excuse for the Pistons possible, since he's a Detroit guy. So if you want somebody that will just give you every excuse possible, but like Bagels, you know how they're putting the Jumpman logo right on those the statement uniforms. He feels like that if you're the Pistons, you also should put Mahorn and Lambeer around the logo, like taking them out.
Jordan rules, baby.
But let's dive into this now.
Go ahead.
Let's dive into this because Knicks fans are listening because they want to hear all. They want to hear every scoop possible. You're one of the main guys on that beat. I actually think you're one of the best on the beat now. And I feel like this is where we have to go from here. So they haven't officially announced it yet, but we expect it to be, you know, pretty soon that Tom Thibodeau will be the head coach of the Knicks, and that'll be official. The question, of course, is, okay, we've kind of known this for a while, but what is the next thing that Leon Rose has to do? Because Woj said the other day something that I totally agree with him. He said, like, the Knicks still are far from credibility in attracting free agents, like star free agents. They've got a long way to go here. So if that's the case, what do they got to do next?
Well, you know what it is. You have to, I think, monitor this trade market if it develops, as it develops in the offseason. If there is a disgruntled young player out there that you like, I think the Knicks would be aggressive in pursuing that opportunity. Obviously, you got to fill out Thibodeau's staff, and then you get into the draft. But if you're talking more generally about the offseason, I don't think they're looking to hit a home run in free agency. You mentioned what Woj said. I agree with that. They're not there. So I think what they would do is you look at opportunities where maybe you get a player on a short-term contract. You can throw them a lot of money, outbid your competitors, bring them into your program, and see if you can keep them there longer term. Maybe you look at trades. Maybe you look at bringing in a bad contract and acquiring a young player or a pick. I think those are the avenues you're looking at if you're the Knicks this summer.
Now, when you talk about that, when I looked at the, you know, we all anticipate Tom is going to get the job, but that also signals that they're ready to win now. But we thought that maybe they were going to go the slow route, use some of these draft picks, and go about it that way. You know, you talk about some of these disgruntled stars, you know, maybe Donovan Mitchell, maybe Devin Booker, because of the relationships that Leon Rose may have. What would that cost you? What would be the argument from going that route opposed to maybe bringing in a guy like LaMelo Ball and starting off with a young star that Tibbs can develop?
Well, I think you have the opportunity to do that, Bart, regardless of what happens in the trade market, right? Because depending on where you land in the draft, you're going to have a chance to get a pretty good player, whether it's six or higher or even a little bit lower. You have the chance to get somebody. And, you know, we've reported that teams who are doing their homework on this draft believe that it's actually the Knicks are actually a preferred destination for Ball in his circle. So that's something to keep an eye on. But, yes, I think what you do is you look at all your opportunities. I think that when you talk about trades for Mitchell or Booker, any of those young players, it's going to cost so much to even start to have a conversation with those teams, because Booker, he's under contract for 4 more years. Mitchell, he's not even going to be a restricted free agent until next summer. So these guys are under team control. And I think if you're talking about trading for a player like that, you're going to have to include either an R.J. Barrett or a Mitchell Robinson in that conversation and multiple first-round picks. So it's going to cost you a ton. I think more realistically, you look at players who are going to hit free agency a little bit sooner than the two players that you mentioned. I think those are more realistic trade targets, a little bit less expensive trade targets for the Knicks if you're looking to see where they might go.
We're talking to Ian Begley of SNY on the Knicks. All right, so with that in mind, give us the most likely then, the more logical. Like, I guess let's start with this. The roster will not look the same as it did when play ended in March. All right, I think we can all agree that it's not going to be the same exact roster. So with that in mind, give us names you're keeping an eye on, maybe even you're hearing that you're like, you know, like you could definitely see this happening. I can see this happening. Give me a couple of names here to get the Knicks fans riled up.
Sure, absolutely. I think that there are fans of Christian Wood in the Knicks organization, the young big man from Detroit. So I think that's a name to keep an eye on. You know, I've heard casually that Danilo Gallinari is a name to keep an eye on. We all know, I don't know if we all know, but I know, and Alan, I know you know, Carmelo Anthony, a potential reunion there. That's something to keep an eye on. And there are people in the organization that think that trading for a Chris Paul, bringing Chris Paul into your building, really jumpstarts the winning culture that you're trying to build. There are people there that feel that he can really, really have a great influence on the young players in the locker room. So, you know, I would think they at least consider the possibility there, maybe see what it would take to pry Chris Paul from Oklahoma City in the offseason.
Now, you talk about bringing Chris Paul in and how he can be a great mentor to teach some of these guys how to be professionals. But who are those guys that we anticipate him to mentor? Like, I guess what I'm asking, who's part of the core four or the core moving forward and who's expendable?
You know, I think the core is two players. It's R.J. Barrett and it's Mitchell Robinson. I think, you know, people have questions about the other young guys on the roster, and deservedly so. I certainly don't think anybody is off limits in any trade talks if the right scenario were to come around. But I think you would have to add to that young core whoever they draft at six or a little higher or lower. Whoever they select with that pick, you would think is part of that young core. But I think it's Barrett and it's Robinson, and then everybody else, kind of see how they look this season, and I think you judge him from there.
Has Frank Ntilikina at all become something to keep an eye on because of the fact that Tibbs comes in with that defensive background? That, you know, there's the Frank Hive, that there's, you know, he's the most polarizing Knick player I think we've seen in years, because Knick fans are so divided about this kid. It's either they all love him or they all hate him. And if you're anywhere in the middle, you're the hater too. Like, it's really incredible how that it, and you know this too, because I bet you've had those moments where you've treated praise of him and people like call you out, right? And then you've been critical of him and people call you out. Like, it's amazing how it is.
Yeah.
But yet, we do know he does, first of all, he's 22 years old, which I can't believe he's already 22. And second of all, he does have the physical attributes and the mentality to be a defensive-minded player. Do you think Tibbs would take him and say, no, let me turn this kid into what you drafted him to be? Or do you feel like, I know Leon did represent him earlier on, but, you know, do they look at him as somebody that could be part of, you know, expendable, move on from this and get some veterans in here?
You know, my understanding is, at least at the moment, you know, the Knicks are not going to go out and aggressively shop any one young player as they did shop Ntilikina ahead of the last draft. You know, they were talking to a bunch of teams about Ntilikina trades, and I was told they were willing to accept as little as an early second rounder in a deal for Ntilikina back then. I don't think that's going to be the case at this point. I don't think, again, no one's untradeable, right? So if a deal were to come on the table that made sense for the Knicks where they could bring back talent and Ntilikina had to go out, I don't think they would hesitate to move him. But I do think that, you know, it would make sense for them, if that situation doesn't come to fruition, makes sense for them to say, hey, let's see what Frank can be under Tom. You know, he has shown the proclivity to be able to defend at the NBA level, and Tom loves defenders. So let's just give this a year and see where it ends up. I think that makes the most sense, unless you get blown away by a potential trade and Frank has to be in that deal.
Let me follow up with this then. Michael Kay talked about this yesterday on his show, and it is an interesting take. From the beginning for me, once you knew the Knicks are going to be looking for a coach, the name I kept mentioning was Jeff Van Gundy. I just felt like Jeff was somebody that, you know, had all everything that you kind of wanted. Plus, let's go for full circle. Let's go back to, you know, the guy that understands the job, but also has a passion for it. Hasn't coached in a long time, but everything about him screams like this is exactly the type of personality this franchise needs right now. I've heard nothing about any issues from anyone on the Garden level about Jeff at this point. So why, what, and we all know that Tom and he are very close. Why did he not get an interview from what you know?
You know what? Last time around, my understanding was that Jeff had strong interest in the job. When I say last time around, when they hired David Fizdale.
Right.
And the sense that I got was they didn't even want to open that can of worms, because once you interview Jeff, you know, it becomes a huge sideshow if you're not going to hire him as head coach. I don't have specific intel on why this time they didn't talk to Jeff. Obviously, they didn't talk to Patrick Ewing. They didn't talk to Mark Jackson. My best guess, though, would be the same thing. If you knew that you were pretty set on Tom Thibodeau going into this thing and you were going to have to be blown out of the water to have your mind changed unless things went sideways in negotiations, if you bring in a Jeff or a Mark or a Patrick for an interview, it becomes this sideshow, and it you know, fuels maybe some storylines that you're not interested in fueling. That's my best guess on why they did not bring Jeff in for an interview this time around.
Now, how did that? How is this going to affect maybe the coaching search across town? The fact that, you know, Tom was, you know, also linked and liked by Kyrie Irving. How does that maybe potentially affect the coaching carousel? Do you maybe see a guy like Mark Jackson maybe get an opportunity maybe there, being in that type of race?
I think Jackson will get certainly internal consideration, if not an interview for that position. I do think Teron Liu is going to be a candidate over there. Several people have reported that Jacques Vaughn will have a legitimate shot to win this job, and Sean Marks has spoken highly of him. But the thing that I wonder about there is, you know, this is championship or bust for the Nets over the next 2 years. I mean, there's no wiggle room, right? So if you're going into the next two seasons with that mentality, you have the opportunity to hire a coach. Can you risk having a coach in place that does not have championship experience? That's the thing that I wonder about with the idea of Vaughn, you know, getting a serious shot at winning this job. I have to think that at the end of the day, they would go with somebody like Lou, who has won an NBA title as a coach, who has dealt with big personalities. That's just my read on this thing.
Yeah, it's a great point about that team, too. Whoever's taking that job has to know that it might only be for about 2 years. Like it might, and you never know where those, you know, if those guys stay or they leave. Like, you don't know how long that's really going to be. So it's an all or nothing kind of situation. So it's going to take somebody that has to have that full trust that when I come here, those two guys are going to, you know, listen to me, and I'm going to be able to work with them. Because if you don't, that's going to end pretty quickly, you know, certainly as we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you agree. All right,
not the enough, show's not called O's and Smooth.
This show's called The Putback on SNY. 4 o'clock today it debuts. Zach Lowe of ESPN is on there with you, according to the notes that I have anyway, and I'll be looking for the call. Jump in there with you as well. But good luck on the show. Remember, apply the makeup lightly. Too much, it's obvious. You don't want to be Agent Orange out there. All right.
Listen, I'm going to need some tips. I'm going to need some tips from you guys, and then I would love to get you on sometime soon. Talk some Knicks, talk some Nets.
The Avion spray water will maybe sell all that down so you won't have that chalky look. It'll give you a little natural shine.
Just go with filters. Filters are always the best way to go. Bagels, good luck with the show. Thanks for giving us a few minutes. All the best.
Fellas, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays from 1 to 3 on 98.7 ESPN.